6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. At 4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. Up in cell block number 9.
Evening, my friends. There's a riot going on right here at the Republic Broadcasting Network. You're listening to Take No Prisoners, and I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and thank you for joining me. Friends, today is Sunday, July 22nd. As many of you may know, we were on the air. Take No Prisoners was live, bringing you all the latest in commercial liens and the BIC payment method yesterday, Saturday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Those of you who didn't receive our email or didn't hear the program, let me take a moment to announce it tonight that Take No Prisoners is now available Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and Sunday evening at our regular time slot of 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Republic Broadcasting Network was kind enough to ask us if we would take over the Saturday time with the retirement of the previous host, at least during the interim period while they're looking for a new host for that time period. So we'll be here for a few months, which increases our time to 4 wonderful hours, exactly what we need to be able to not only cover the technology, but increase the use of the phone lines and expand the interviews and bring you the stories and tales from straight from the horse's mouth, from those people who are using BIC at this, literally at this very moment as we speak, those people who are having successes in cases across the board, those people who are encountering problems, and the additional 2 hours will allow us to slow down a little bit and interweave that, those interviews and your phone calls and questions, most importantly, with my babbling off at the mouth about technology. So that said, welcome tonight. I was a little late joining the program. I actually was here, but unbeknownst to me, I had the mute button pushed on my communications board here. So unfortunately, I missed our wonderful music coming in, but I'm glad to see that our producer tonight, I believe it's John, as promised, brought our regular music back in. Thank you, John. I have a couple of announcements tonight. First of all, for those many folks who have emailed me requesting some form of contact with a notary, let me suggest that you might want to send an email to Notary Depot. That's Notary, D-E-P-O-T, one word, at hush.com. And that's a site that was formed by some notaries on my suggestion to be able to hook up people who require expert skills in the notary department with excellent notaries, hopefully notaries who are knowledgeable with the BIC system, but certainly notaries who are seasoned, former controversy-ridden patriots. And we're going to get right into commercial liens when we return after this brief commercial message. This is Take No Prisoners. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, this is Lance Keltner, and I firmly support Ron Paul as next president of the United States. That's why myself and New Disaster will be rocking San Antonio in support of Ron. It's going to be a great day of music. Don't miss it.
Congressman Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution, is coming to San Antonio July 28th. Come hear him talk about defending liberty at the Buckhorn Museum. The fundraiser starts at 6 p.m. For tickets, call toll-free 866-RON-2008. That's 866-RON-2008.
Hi, I'm David White of the Glorious Dregs, and I support Ron Paul for president in 2008. Please join us when the Ron Paul Revolution sweeps through San Antonio on Saturday, July 28th.
Congressman Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution, is coming to San Antonio July 28th. Come hear him talk about defending liberty at the Buckhorn Museum. The fundraiser starts at 6 p.m. For tickets, call toll-free 866-RON-2008. That's 866-RON-2008.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent, and my debts are right.
Welcome back, my friend. I was about to say you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network, but my producer, John, told me tonight that he's getting a bunch of calls that no one's receiving us, and his best guess is that the satellite link is down, so I'm talking to thin air. But I will continue talking to thin air because I know we're going to be going crazy on the downloads, especially all you folks who are in critical situations. So that means no interviews, no phone calls. Well, maybe we can get some phone calls. Maybe we can pipe that through. John, if you're listening, by all means, we'll get to phone calls shortly. And we're going to see if we can take calls that are relevant to the topic tonight, which is commercial liens. We don't want to get too far off tangent. As I mentioned before the break, Notary Depot, that's an excellent resource for folks. Prior to that, as far as I know, my friends, there was no place you could go to find a notary. I remember my days of trying to find notaries, and actually, I was pretty successful at it. When I needed notaries, I found, maybe two, three, or four of them, and the very fine folks And we use them out of state, big distances, and that's when I trained myself and came up with the technology for using out-of-state notaries. And eventually, they fell out of the system, so to speak, and I sought out a new notary and put out a call, and I had half a dozen more notaries around the country who were interested. A friend of mine working locally, by the way, no one in my group would become a notary. We tried for years to request that, but no one in my group would pretty much do anything, and that's why we don't have a group locally anymore. Imagine that. I was here lecturing each week and trying to, it was part of my learning experience, part of my growth experience, it was part of the group's growth experience, but on that latter count, we weren't very successful. I'll tell you why, because I think it has some great relevance to many of you out there, because I was the only one who was doing anything. I was writing all the paper, doing all the research, and then people were involved in their own cases, trying to assimilate what we were doing with them and for them, but no one would take the initiative on any front, including becoming a notary. So, in fact, I couldn't get people to stuff and mail their own papers. It was, oh, I don't have computer skills, I don't do this. No one would learn. No one would grow. And for the longest period of time, that's not to say everyone didn't grow, but mostly there was just an intransigence about, there was a fear of learning. And that was a surprise to me because I came from a learning background. I mean, you don't have much of a choice in medical school or dental school or veterinary school or any of the professional schools. You're there in class, and you better find a learning system, a study system that works for you. And so I had those skills, of course, and I found that I couldn't expand those skills to others, that they actually had pre-commitments, convictions that they could not learn. Oh, I can't do that. I can't do this. And that's a huge impediment to functioning within the freedom movement. And if that is your attitude and you're going to stick with that, then I would say don't get started in it, because knowledge is not something that you can put back in the bottle. It's not like a genie. There's no going back to the Matrix and eating steak with Cypher. It doesn't work that way. So I'm not sure how we got off on that tangent, but this notary group, Notary Depot, is an excellent resource. And now you have notaries who are knowledgeable hooking themselves up or making referrals to other notaries with those folks around the country who have a need. You would not want to go to an inexperienced notary. The very first time they get challenged by a lawyer's letter, I have never seen a notary practicing law in my life. I'm going to report you to the Bar Association. They will rightly turn right on you, and they'll become your own worst enemy. But that's not the primary reason. Primary reason was taught to me in a situation where someone said they had a notary, and I called her and gave her a brief interview on the phone, and she had two children, and she was maybe 6 months pregnant, and she was the sweetest gal and knew nothing about any of this but would do anything we asked. And I asked my friend point blank, do you really want to place this notary pregnant, 6 months pregnant with a little baby, at risk in an arena she doesn't know? And he immediately knew that that was not a wise idea. So we want experienced notaries, and this would be a good place to get them. Let's see, we already announced that we're on the air 2 days now. By the way, I do understand there's a problem finding the downloads from yesterday. Apparently they didn't post automatically to my section of the archives at Republic. We will find out what that is, and I promise you I'll send out a mass email and then circulate that around, please, and everyone will know where to find yesterday's program. Yesterday's program was the prelude to today's program. We covered commercial liens in depth. We had interviews from a woman with a lengthy interview with a woman, Louise. I had two lined up, Linda and Louise, but Louise made it. I kept calling one, the other one, and the other one, vice versa. And we got a chance to see contrast in how she established the lien and how I might have established a lien and why. And I think that's where we're going to pick up today. I know we have a caller on the line. I'm a little hesitant to take this call because I know what it's about, and it's not really relevant to the commercial lien process, but I think we will take it. I'm going to have to limit it to 5 minutes, and I'd like her to know that in advance. Kate, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Kate. How are you? You were a caller a week or so ago, weren't you?
Yeah, I hate to inform you, but I hadn't actually called about liens tonight.
I know, and that's why I'm going to limit my call with you to no more than 5 or 6 minutes, Kate. Not to be mean, I know that you're in a tough situation, and you're a nice gal, but you're the epitome of the impossible situation for someone like me. You don't have the commercial experience. And there's a whole bunch of education you need to get to be able to solve your situation. And
yeah.
Even if you decide to go commercially, to go down a commercial path, you need to know what you're doing, as I've said many, many times on the air. If you simply go and start accepting a few things for value and sending them back, they're going to walk through that like crazy. You have a judge who knows what she's doing, apparently. And what she would get away with you, she would not dare try with me. She might try it for about 10 seconds, and I'd you know, slap her right upside her head and put her in a liability situation and just see how much she fears the loss of her house or her income or her job position if she fears that more than I fear going to jail. And I guarantee you she probably would. But why don't you ask me your question, and we'll see what we can do anyway.
Well, when I emailed you on last Sunday, I got a response, and of course it was a little bit after the fact and whatnot. The judgment that I had originally gotten from my nolo contendere plea on
what was that nolo contendere plea on?
On the code enforcement violations that I'd received numerous citations on as a result of some
And so you put in a nolo contendere plea.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? Who told you to do that, or why did you do that?
Well, because, you know, I don't have enough experience to know how to really stand on secured party creditorship or even sovereignty, and I was 100% sure.
I'm losing you. Are you on a cell phone? Kate,
hello?
We've lost you. Hello,
are you on
a cell phone?
Yes, I'm driving. Hello?
You'd better pull over if you want to finish up the conversation on the program, Kate, because we're losing you.
Oh, you don't hear me at all?
You're going in and out.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, but if you have to ask one more time, we'll have to move on to the next caller.
Please don't let me go. I really need help.
Pull over to the side of the road then, okay?
Okay, can you hear me now?
This is radio. This isn't a personal telephone call.
I know. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
So you did a nolo contendere plea, and what was the outcome of that?
Well, I went back to court. Of course, you know, some of the charges got dropped, but then after that, you know, some of them, most of them still stood.
Right.
And I went into court. They had switched my case to another judge because I hadn't started making any payments on the account because I was trying to figure out what else I could do. And I went into the court, and I informed them of the fact that I wanted to rescind my signature from the contract, et cetera, et cetera. I began to ask certain questions about the judge's oath of office and just different things that I was aware to do, and I had no success with the judge. He was very hard on me. He forced me into a corner where either I was going to go to jail or I was going to have to go into probation. So, unfortunately,
Kate, what did he say to you?
He said that they accept cash only, and at the time...
Excuse me. Now, we spoke about this a week ago. Excuse me, Your Honor. Are you ordering me to pay in something other than gold and silver? For and on the record. Did you ask him that?
At the time, no, I didn't. I didn't ask because I got thrown. All right,
hey, Kate, stick with me through the 3-minute break. I've got a simple idea that I might want to suggest I might do. Don't go away. Folks, you're listening to Take No Prisoners with Sam Kennedy and Desperate Kate on the line.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Imagine if powerful technology existed to help your body neutralize pathogens, revitalize cells, and intensify your immune system. How do you think that might affect your wellness and longevity? One of the most powerful breakthroughs in electromedicine was the multi-wave oscillator created by doctors Tesla and Lakovsky. More powerful and useful than Rife machines, Evenstar photonic multi-wave oscillators are designed to send trillions of life-enhancing frequencies deep into organic tissue to help eliminate chronic and acute wellness conditions at their source. Over the past 14 years, Evenstar users time and again report excellent results working with a wide range of wellness conditions. To learn why Evenstar may be your perfect wellness and longevity solution, visit evenstarforlife.com or call 888-333-5095. Serious wellness threats are on the rise. Don't you owe it to your family to explore this powerful technology today? Evenstarforlife.com, evenstarforlife.com, or 888-333-5095. That's 888-333-5095.
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. Insert dollars only, please. Actually, tonight, folks, insert $5 bills, stick them in the envelopes, and send them to Sam Kennedy, General Delivery. Oh, never mind. Folks, we're having a heck of a time tonight. We've got two computers that went down, and then the second one just came back up. I disconnected from the main studio by accident, and we're just giving morons a bad name tonight. They're going to vote me out of the club. I told my producer that all he has to do now is walk into the lunar module and fire the starboard thrusters for 3 seconds. I want him to loop around the dark side of the moon, and we're going to bring him home safely. All right, Kate, are you still with us after that nonsense?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, now look, let me make something perfectly clear. Number one, I am not going to give you legal advice here or anywhere else. What I would do if I was in your position, what I would consider doing, if I didn't have a lot of experience, is the following. And one of them is going to sound, one of these ideas is going to sound self-serving. Number one, I would fire off a very brief affidavit letter, a letter rogatory, to the judge, and I would ask him, I would say something like, Mr. Such and Such, I'm a little confused by your order. Are you ordering me to pay in anything other than gold or silver? Question mark. In other words, Mr. Jones, are you ordering me to violate the Constitution? I forget what clause it is, that no state shall make anything but gold and silver legal tender, coin legal tender. Short and sweet. And I would request that your response to me be certified, true, correct, and complete. And I'd leave it at that and see what he says, because I'm in a quandary as to what to do. Now he's in a terrible position, because he's got, you see how easy it is to make them, in my mind at least, to make them understand what it is they did. He would get away with that with you, but he wouldn't get away with that with me for 2 seconds. Because I know that any order to pay in cash in a state court places him in a treasonous position against his own oath of office. There's a million places one can go with that thereafter. It could be a complaint to the chief judge of that part saying, I think I've been ordered to break the law, and I think you need to recuse Judge such and such because he failed to answer my letter. By the way, any letter like that that I would send him, I would have a notary make due presentment of and point out that this letter is being sent to you under notary seal, Mr. Such and Such, to protect the integrity of the public record. And if your response is not received by the notary within 10 days, then that will comprise your admission that I've been ordered to violate the law. And then I would take that notary certificate and I would process it with the chief judge, with the judicial disciplinary committee and all of that stuff. All of that is working within the system. I'm not telling you to do that, but it's something that I would consider if I was in that position. Or I would just consider paying it and consider this to be a lesson and then take my lumps, which I've done in cases when I was younger and stupider, more stupid, I think is the word, no stupider, and move on to the next lesson so that I know it will never happen again. How do you think I gained the knowledge that I appear to have today? Because I hit a situation and I went upstairs in the house and I prayed about it and I said to myself when I came out of prayer, never again. This will never happen to me again. I will never go in a court where I know less than the people I'm facing. And that's actually not such a hard goal to achieve. Secondly, I would use that time creatively to get yourself up to the Law Merchant Leadership Conference in Albany and learn what you're doing. And that's the part of the suggestion that sounds self-serving, but you could really benefit by this course. If you're going to head down this pathway, you better know what you're doing, Kate.
Well, this is the other aspect of that question, because I did submit a bonded registered bill of exchange, and obviously we had a little bit of a talk about that before.
Well, also, I can't belabor this phone call any further with that material. By all means, send me an email, but your bill of exchange could be your worst enemy, depending on who you submitted it to, and I believe my memory is telling me that you may have made it a draw against the United States Treasury. If so, if it was me, I would immediately put in a notice of rescission on that instrument, and I would go to BIC with a bonded promissory note, which is securitized through an offset bond that's deposited with Treasury, which is routed through an indemnity bond that's on file with Treasury. And if you want to really learn to do that, then get yourself up to the Law Merchant Leadership Conference. Have you thought about attending that?
Yes, but I have a problem with raising the funds, especially considering now I have this judgment in this whole situation.
Well,
but
then you'll come as my guest, and all you'll have to do is find someone to room with and hop in your car. Send an email to robertat@hushed.com, and tell her I said to bring you in my compliments, okay? We have no space. We'll make space, even if you have to stand in a corner. Thanks for calling, Kate. My friends, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Tonight it's Listen at Your Own Risk.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Lance Keltner, and I firmly support Ron Paul as next president of the United States. That's why myself and New Disaster will be rocking San Antonio in support of Ron. It's going to be a great day of music. Don't miss it.
Congressman Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution, is coming to San Antonio July 28th. Come hear him talk about defending liberty at the Buckhorn Museum. The fundraiser starts at 6 p.m. For tickets, call toll-free 866-RON-2008. That's 866-RON-2008.
Hi, I'm David White of the Glorious Dregs, and I support Ron Paul for president in 2008. Please join us when the Ron Paul Revolution sweeps through San Antonio on Saturday, July 28th.
Congressman Ron Paul, champion of the Constitution, is coming to San Antonio July 28th. Come hear him talk about defending liberty at the Buckhorn Museum. The fundraiser starts at 6 p.m. For tickets, call toll-free 866-RON-2008. That's 866-RON-2008.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debts are rising faster than a rocket.
Welcome back, friends. I think that was my lead-in music. Well, we're just having a good time tonight. You're listening, by the way, if you haven't guessed, to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Right now, John, my producer, is huddled in a corner of the lunar module, and he's in a 10-minute blackout period on the dark side of the moon. We're hoping that he appears on the other side of the moon and fires the retro rockets and then has to separate the module from the command module. So keep your fingers crossed. If you're listening to me tonight, well, it's a miracle. And if you're listening to me tomorrow morning, it's the archives. Hopefully, we'll get the program out, and the archives will be busy. And my apologies to all those fine folks who tried to tune in tonight. I understand the booth is jammed with calls, people saying, we can't hear Sam. Now, folks, if you have any wisdom in your bones at all, you'll be calling to say, thank goodness we can't hear Sam. We're tired of the sound of his voice. On and upward to commercial liens. Just one comment first. We have a pretty long segment now, and let me just take 1 minute to the attendees of the Law Merchant Leadership Conference. We are at capacity now. We're a little bit over. Roberta has sent out an email to all those folks who did not finalize their registration. There was a final procedure that had to be done. Some folks have had 2 months and haven't done it, and so they have actually been removed, and I want to make that announcement, that if Roberta sent you an email and you haven't responded, then your position will be given out to people people like Kate, who called in tonight. And in that case, the space will be put to really extraordinarily good use. I do thank you for your interest. I hope you haven't responded. I hope you have not responded, not because you're in prison or been taken in or suffered adverse consequences or, God forbid, passed away. So we'll trust in the Lord that everything is working out as it should. Now, commercial lanes, we're picking up where we left off last night. We will find last night's program in the downloads, and I'll let you know by email where it is so you have a complete set here, and then you can take a couple of hours in the car, skip through the nonsense like this, and move right on to the meat. We had a caller, Louise, a lengthy interview, and she did one particular kind of commercial lean, the kind of commercial lean that I like to think of as a penalty lean or a controversy lean. It's a lean based upon a failure to perform, which might be a good name for it, a failure to perform lean. And the failure to perform might be some instruction you've given to a public official. You might have bonded the case. You might have performed every procedure correctly, but they're in dishonor across the board. And if that's the case, then the traditional way is to put together an affidavit of obligation. On such and such a date, officer such and such did this. That's a constitutional violation. We're charging him $10,000 per. And you put in a whole long list of them. You could have 10, 20. Heck, you could have 300 of those. It could be a $5 million true bill. It could be a $50,000 true bill. You put that together and follow commercial lien procedures. I prefer for myself to use a commercial lien that is strictly contained within. Anyone want to take a guess? Of course, the phone lines aren't open. I will give away free admission to the Law Merchant Leadership Conference and a new car to anyone who calls in within the next 10 seconds and gives me the answer to that question. Oh, I forgot. The phone lines are down. Well, folks, I'm safe on that one, but I want to keep my commercial lien restricted to public policy. Now, all of you, when you get the archives, and you don't jump up and down saying, I knew the answer, I knew the answer. He jipped me out of a new car. By the way, it was a new Yugo. So the way one would construct that commercial lien is pretty much the same way that I just described for the failure to perform lien, except, in fact, this is a special case of the failure to perform lien because it's a failure to perform on the payment instrument. And that can be explained in probably three or four different ways. Number one, if I'm the first in line paramount secured party creditor to that defendant debtor, then anything you collect, sir, had better be paid to me first, so we're going to have a problem. I'm first in line, that's my money. The interpleaded funds belong to me. Number two, if they made me an offer to expand funds under public policy, and I accept the offer, and I provide consideration, and they fail to provide consideration on their offer, they owe me that check, that money order. Well, not a check. We've said where's the check, but we don't accept checks. We accept money orders. We accept cash. We accept gold. We accept silver. We accept labor, but not a check. Thirdly, if we have a situation where someone working for a public venue that purports to have in rem jurisdiction over the vessel, the straw man, comes to us and makes us an offer and doesn't bring the return of the interest to us on the money we loaned him to create the goods that allowed that offer, then he owes us money. I can think of probably 10 reasons they owe us money. And that's what the commercial lien is about that I'd construct. On such and such a date, bonded promissory note, under the statement of facts, it might say, on such and such a date, an offer to expand funds under public policy was received from whoever, from whatever, Mr. Jones in whatever agency. On such and such a date, bonded promissory note number such and such was tendered as full payment in complete satisfaction of all liabilities attributed to legal fiction Sam Kennedy, and all parties were made whole. On such and such a date, agent of the Secretary of the State of New York certified that the United States, through its agent, Mr. Jones, has stipulated to the value and validity of the instrument and confessed judgment as holder in due course for the full value of the instrument. And then I would do the whole thing in negative averment. There is no defect in United States public record number such and such, certifying by an agent of the Secretary of the State of New York that the United States on such and such a date through its agent such and such and such has stipulated to blah, blah, blah. So I would construct that within the commercial lien. However, I'm about to read you, before we go to the phones again, I'm about to read you the actual meat of the lien, of the lien document, the International Commercial Claim / Lien, as it has been rewritten for the BIC process. Who's ever listening is the first to hear this. How do I know? Because I just completed these pages not an hour ago. So there may be some typos in here. But folks, this is a major change from the International Commercial Claim / Lien that we reviewed at the last Law Merchant Leadership Conference, and we are going to spend a lot of time on this, half day to a day at least, day three or four, at the Law Merchant Leadership Conference in August. By the way, if you absolutely need to attend this thing, we are going to turn around and fill those positions that were eliminated first thing probably tomorrow. So send an email to Roberta T. as in Thomas at hush.com, and she'll let you know what we can do on your behalf. So we read the cover page and the binder page a week ago, and here goes. This would be page 4. Page 2 is actually a simple disclaimer on our intention. Whereas you have made various offers to claimant to expand funds under public policy, whereas claimant, that's me, has received the said offers and accepted them for value in their entirety, whereas claimant presumes your offers were made in good faith, therefore claimant makes good faith due presentment of International Commercial Claim / Lien, in parenthesis contract, notice of claimant's waiver of benefits and privileges, notice of United States acceptance of claimant's declaration of political status, and various sundry documents incorporated in the contract in their entirety by reference as follows. Now, folks, that little area is spaced out and in large type, could be 12 or 14 point Times New Roman. And I added that to this because I wanted to thrust right up front in their face the opening story. For instance, I wrote a novel years ago. Someone mentioned it to me today. It was called The Best Part of Life. And it was actually about death, coming to grips with death. And it had an opening line which I've never forgotten. I must have written this 20-some-odd years ago. And I recalled it today and how powerful that line still is. And that book, when I sent out the first few pages of that book, I had 35 agents who wanted to represent me. And the opening line was, by the way, it was written in the second person, a very unusual approach. It said, "There are 10 other places I'd rather be. Scratch that, 20. Doesn't sound like much, but as opposed to opening a book, oh, there was a beautiful sunset coming over the hill. Immediately, this fulfilled all the guidelines of a great story. Number one, an immediately identifiable protagonist with a problem. Clearly, this guy has a problem. And secondly, someone that you might, if not care for, at least care about. You could tell this guy was sarcastic, had dug himself in a hole, and had a sense of humor about him. All of that was available right in the opening sentence, and it pulled them into the rest of the paragraph. And that pulled them into the rest of the page, and that pulled them into the rest of the book. By the way, I wrote that book in 10 days. It was just under 200 pages, and that was an interesting ride in and of itself. So, excuse me. So that's at the beginning of the commercial lien. We're letting that section at the beginning of the commercial lien takes the place of the first two welcoming paragraphs in the comprehensive administrative remedy, which is in the Stage 1 Option 3 folder for presenting the bonded promissory note. So this international commercial claim slash lien, why don't we just call it an international commercial lien, because that's what it's going to wind up being when they default, and they will default. This document is really designed to combine the lien process with the concept of generating the complete contract, especially with the court or whoever's making the offer, so that they immediately know up front, A, full payment is tendered. In fact, I'm going to add the bonded promissory note to that brief list of things that we're tendering. B, everything is accepted for value. C, I'm waiving benefits and privileges. We're sentencing the defendant to 10 years in jail. I'm waiving that. Thank you for the privilege. Great food, housing, shelter, clothing. Don't want it. Don't need it. And also the notice of the claimant's declaration of political status. Now, that was in the opening couple of paragraphs where we were telling them in the comprehensive administrative process, we are sending this process back to you for cause. We didn't say it's defective, although it is, and if we returned it that way, it would be done by an abatement. But we did say to them, we're sending it back to you for cause, and the cause is it's paid, mitigating circumstances. We've paid it. We've accepted it for value. We want you to take it off of our account, just like you'd send back an invoice to Macy's. So the reason we include the declaration of political status, even though they walk all over political status all the time. In fact, I have a friend going into trial, unfortunately, in a tax case, and it's going to be dire consequences. He's got a big-name attorney all of you folks would know, but the attorney really doesn't know much about commerce, doesn't want to head there, and he's going to argue as to intent, and I pray that there is a miracle here, but I doubt it. And that was a classic case of declaration of political status, which could have been held if my friend had been more persistent about it, but like many people, understandably, he was intimidated by the process. And there are very few who would not be at that level, especially if you have a wife and children. So I thrust the political status up front in any of my contracts because it makes them think, here is a clear-cut sworn affidavit that we're going to be putting in deposition coming at you under your nose, a part of the record, stating what? That I am a living man, not a legal fiction. Further, stating that the United States has already accepted that they have stipulated to the terms of my declaration of political status. So I use this to make them think twice about enticing me into slavery, because if they want to go that route, I sure as heck will be willing to use statutes as a plaintiff or as a prosecutor. I'll be more than happy to walk down that pathway. Next, there's a line on the page. There's a line separating every section, and that's what we'll refer to these as, sections. And each section has a large title and 16 or 18-point type set off to the left. I'm doing this so you have an idea of appearance, why we're thrusting certain things under their noses. And then under it are specific paragraphs, and each paragraph has a subject title over it. So the very first section says, Respondents Offers to Contract. This is brand new. I never had this in any of my documents, but I want to make it clear to them the venue we're in. And here's how we do it. The title of the paragraph says, Offers to Expand Funds Under Public Policy. That's a mouthful. I've been using that mouthful for years, but it really means something. And you can talk in those terms to an attorney. Excuse me. What about your offer? Where's the consideration on your offer to expand funds? What do you mean expand funds? Excuse me, sir. Aren't you an attorney? You don't know the definition of expansion of the money supply? You don't know how money's created in our society? Would you fill out an affidavit to that effect? Because I want to present it to the bar. obviously you're confessing to your incompetence. By the way, we've put that into petitions and put them in court to bring the guy in on whatever his statements is. Usually the public defender bring him in as a third-party defender for a hearing, and I guarantee you, guaranteed, that that man will never be seen again. In fact, they will probably have his office door nailed shut when they see your car pulling up. Offers to expand funds under public policy. Your offers to contract are listed on Schedule O, which is attached to and incorporated into the contract in its entirety by reference. That's a common statement. I'm sure most of you know out there have heard it before in any kind of equity pleadings. The term offers, in parenthesis with a capital O, is herein defined to include all such listed items and any and all other offers, claims, demands, warrants, orders, proceedings, documents, action statements, instruments, and events. That's the only list we're going to have in this whole document, because lists draw people away from the page. They make them wish they could be anywhere else, right? There are 10 other places I'd rather be. Scratch that, 20. Probably that protagonist was reading a list at the time he thought that. Anyway, offers is herein defined to include all such listed items and any and all of the offers, claims, et cetera, and events which you may have made to claimant, expressed, implied, or in transit, regardless of source, agent, or principles thereto. You agree that all such offers are hereby incorporated in Schedule O by reference in their entirety. Folks, join me after the break. We're going to pick up the international commercial lien and get to a caller right after the break.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Attention. This is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt? Maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com. Or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
We'll be right back. you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Insert dollars only, please. Into the envelope and ship them off to Soupy Sales at Channel 5 in New York. I'm not going to bore you by repeating the Soupy Sales story, but that was he was a pretty funny guy. So, my friends, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're having quite a program tonight. You know, it's a lot more fun when no one's listening. As I was telling John, I think I'm going to disavow everything I say tonight. I'm issuing a public notice of rescission on every verb that came out of my mouth tonight. What good are the sentences if you've taken the verbs away? So, friends, we're going to very quickly go to Jim on the phone line, and then I want to read another paragraph from that particular section in the International Commercial Lien. Hello, Jim. Are you there?
Hi, Dr. Kennedy.
Call me Sam, please.
Oh, well, thank you.
Unless I have a stethoscope in my hand.
Okay. Well, I had emailed you a little over a week ago about how the I had presented a promissory note to the judge by sealed envelope of a notary in the court case, and she handed it back to me because she said it was just a stack of papers. And, of course, I argue with her about the fact that, well, these are registered notes, and we got a little argument about being registered. Anyhow, I turned around and mailed the same back to her again through notary mailing, and she mailed it back to me directly, stating that I didn't state the case and that she didn't know what I wanted. I didn't present it according to her. Yes.
Jim, was the document stamped anywhere with a big red stamp that she can't miss, private issue, not for public filing?
No, sir.
There you go. She's treating it as a public document. That's fine. You can have some fun with that.
Okay.
But I didn't mean to interrupt you, although I did. What's your question?
Well, you had mentioned, and I hate to take you off your subject tonight, but you had mentioned the other last week in your first 10 minutes about how people had taken promissory notes directly to the Internal Revenue Service for negotiation. And I was considering doing that tomorrow.
Yes. All right. We're going to pick that up. Stay with me until after the break. Then we have a short segment and then a long one after that. I want to read one other paragraph. Stay on the line here with me, okay?
Sure, thank you.
So, since I don't compartmentalize well, let me finish up the respondents' offers to contract section of the commercial lien. Then we'll devote a little time to your situation, and then we'll come back to commercial liens. They'll actually tie together. Right under that paragraph I read, Jim, is a little paragraph in a box. Now, I know everybody's going to say, a box, it doesn't exist.